I have some introduction that you don't have. That's no surprise to you. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go to the printout. Let's begin with the introduction that you do not have. A temptation is a solicitation to do evil. And while the same Greek word is used to speak of both trial and temptation, they differ in terms of source, purpose, and outcome. In the same event, God and the devil can be at work. One to test you, the other to tempt you. But let's be clear. God doesn't tempt anyone. And any temptation hatched by Satan must pass through God's fingers first, even though God is not its source. You can read Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12 when you have time. So the bottom line is that Satan desires your downfall. God desires your development. Printout. Introduction, as you have it printed. You can follow. James realized that some individuals, when subjected to hard trials, were prone to think unfairly about God. They were inclined to blame God for their failure. James rejects the claim that God was tempting them and insists that the true source lies in man's sinful nature that he is born with. James also wants his fellow believers to understand at least four things about temptation. First, temptation is always present. No one is exempt from it. Test of faith. Underline the word faith. We know that faith is divine persuasion, and that is what a Christian is to live by. Divinely persuaded by the Word of God and the power of God. So a test of faith is a test of your trust. It is a test of your confidence in the living God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. It is a test of faith or inevitable. There is no spiritual vaccine, no get-out-of-temptation-free card. Verse 13, let no one say, underline that phrase, let no one say. This is a command to stop accusing God. Let no one say when. Notice a little word that is missing. It is the word if. If. Let no one say when. Underline the word when. It means temptation is a sure thing. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For temptation does not originate from God, but from our own flaws as a human being. For God cannot, underline the word cannot, it means not able to be tempted in any way by anything. For God cannot be tempted by what is evil, and He Himself, being God that is good, tempts no one. Now regarding the entire arena of trials and temptations, understand this. God will allow a trial. Underline the word trial and write these three things. Number one, a trial from God undeceives. A trial from God undeceives. Secondly, a temptation from Satan deceives. A temptation from Satan deceives. Number three, every trial from God is an opportunity of our getting nearer to the living God. Regarding the entire arena of trials and temptations, understand this. It is no option. God will allow a trial. Satan will come with a temptation. The trial may be financial. The temptation may be cocaine to escape the pressure. It's not God who brings the cocaine your way. No, God simply allows the trial to come. It's Satan who brings the temptation. Never be mistaken on this point. The trial of our faith is to prove the faithfulness of God. It is never a temptation or an enticement to sin. Therefore, if you're half drunk in a bar, the guy offering you free drugs is not God's way of saying, I'm going to prove how faithful I am by sending this guy your way. No, that's temptation you brought on yourself by placing yourself in that situation in the first place. Verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, and passion. Underline the two words, lust and passion, and write this down as a note. Temptation leads to sin when you yield to it. Temptation leads to sin when you yield to it. Then when the illicit desire, underline the two words, illicit desire, this is probably going to surprise you. You're probably thinking about sex, aren't you? Well, let me say this to you. Don't take this out of context, please. Keep this word in context. In fact, you need to go back and reread chapter 1. Here we go. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, passion. Then when the illicit desire, what is the illicit desire that is being talked about here? Write this down. To live life without God. To live life without God. Not allowing God to grow us and conform us into the image of His Son. What is James chapter 1 talking about? He's talking about living by faith. Do not attempt to live without faith in your life as a child of the living God. Then he says, if you need wisdom, ask for it. We all need spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. To live without wisdom from God is a sin. Let me reread it. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin. What is he being dragged away from? What is the enticement here that we read in James chapter 14, verses 14 and 15? Well, I want you to come, if you will, and listen again to what I'm going to read that you don't have. Did you know that temptation can have a positive effect in your life as a Christian? If you really want to follow God, you will cling to Him all the tighter during temptation. Temptation exercises our faith and teaches us to pray. Every victory gives us new confidence in our victorious leader and new courage for the next onslaught of the foe. Then take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Very quickly, let's look at it and read it. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Temptation toughens us up. It makes us stronger. It teaches us to depend totally upon the living God. It's not easy at the time, but what a blessing it is to know that you have passed the test. Once again, verses 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to think he can live life on his own without the living God being involved in any way. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, passion. Then when the illicit desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has run its course, it gives birth to death. Underline the word death. And what is death? Death is simply separation. Number one, sin. always brings forth what? Death. Always brings forth death. And the greatest death is a separation from breaking fellowship with God. Number two, sin will kill relationships. Sin will kill relationships. Number three, sin will destroy happiness. Sin will destroy happiness. Number four, sin will ruin health. Sin, if not repented of, can ruin health. Number five, when you want to tell someone how serious sin is and what sin does, the best thing you can do is take them to the cross of Calvary and say, look at this wonderful, perfect, loving person and see him on the cross in agony and pain and blood. It was when Jesus Christ became sin for us that he died, for sin always brings death. Page 2. Notice what the next verse says. Do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Two things here. Number one, do not be deceived about the source and consequences of sin. Write these two things down, if you will. Number one, we are in a war against our soul, and it is not a momentary skirmish. It will last your whole lifetime until the day that you die your physical death. Secondly, the world system and Satan are determined to take us down. Two things here. Number one, we've just read. Number two, beware of casting suspicion on God and his beneficent activities. Verse 17. Every good thing, underline the word good. The word good in the Greek language means profitable, useful, benefiting, good, and doing good is the ideal. Continue to put it together. Every profitable, useful, benefiting thing that God gives as good is good for this reason, that we receive it. And if we receive the good that God gives, that comes from above, then he will be able to take this good and do the good things of the living God. Evidently, he has to give this good because I'm not born with it. I must receive it. Therefore, this good is a divine gift that comes from the living God who is good, that comes from above. Every good thing given, underline the word given. Again, it is a divine gift that comes from the living God. He is giving us what he knows we need. He is giving us that which is good so we may give that particular good to other human beings. Every good thing given and every perfect, underline the word perfect. This word perfect means to enlarge what he gives us. He's going to give you good things that are profitable, good things that are useful, good things that are benefiting, but they're not going to be small things. They're not even going to stay small. They're going to be enlarged and enlarged and enlarged and enlarged, and that enlargement is never going to stop. He's going to give you all you need. He's going to give to you in a way that is so large, you're not going to know what to do with it. So you receive it, the good things. And the good things, listen to this, and I'll say it again. They're not going to stay small. They're not going to stay little. They're not going to stay minimal. They're always going to be growing. So what I receive, and this makes me want to receive them, is always going to grow because the good hand and nature of God is upon it. Every good thing given, given from God himself, and every perfect, which means to enlarge what he gives us, every perfect gift that will meet all your desires is continually, get this, Not only is he going to enlarge the gifts, not only will they get bigger and bigger so more can be done with them, but it's going to be continually coming down. Every perfect gift is, write this, it'll make sense, is continually coming down. From who? From the living God. It's never going to stop. Listen to this. Goodness can be in your life until the day that you die. And then when you die, the goodness is not going to stop. It's going to be enlarged as you are transported into the presence of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ in eternity, forever and forever and forever. Nothing is going to stay the same. It's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. Brother, God's goodness is not to stand still. It is not to sit still. It is not to stay small. The goodness of God is to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. What does that mean? There is plenty of the goodness of God for every human being that is willing to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You have a good God. Receive His goodness that you may give it to others and they too may see the goodness of Almighty God and choose Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Amen? Thank you. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It is continually coming down. And it comes. And then listen to this. Underline the word, it comes. This is grace continually coming down. And what is grace? It is God's riches at Christ's expense. I'll say it again. This goodness we're talking about is simply God's riches at Christ's expense. It comes down continually. It never ever stops. It comes down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights. The word of means source of in the Greek language. So we have that God the Father, God our Father, if Jesus Christ is your Savior. He is the originator of all heavenly luminaries. It comes from Him. The Father of lights, He is the Creator. He is the sustainer of the heavens. In whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by His turning, for He is perfect, and He never changes. Underline the words, God is perfect, or He is perfect. What does that tell you about God? He's always going to do what's right. He's always going to give exactly what is needed. He's going to be the good God in your life. So when you think about temptation, when you think about trials, know that trials come from the living God. He wants to develop you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to conform you to the image of God's Son, and that is Jesus Christ. We need a church today full of people that are willing to be like Christ. We need a house of the living God that is going to stand and say, God, whatever it takes, whatever the adversity, whatever the hardship, whatever the trials, mold me, make me, develop me, deliver me into the likeness of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ so I can be a temple not only of God, but a temple of the goodness of Almighty God. Amen. Here we go. Now, the good gifts, the perfect things that come your way are solely because of God's grace and kindness and benevolence. You may be a gifted musician, an intelligent person, a hard worker. These are gifts from God by grace that have nothing to do with your earning them. Everything that is wonderful in your life is because God loves you. It is because of God's grace. It is because of Jesus Christ paying your sin debt on the cross that you could never ever pay over 2,000 years ago. Do you see the goodness of Almighty God coming off the pages? Do you see the grace of God that is so permeating everywhere that Jesus Christ steps? God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Everything that is wonderful in your life is because of God's grace to you. Did you earn it? Is God merciful? So God gives grace when we don't deserve it? God gives grace because you're loved with a tremendous divine love that I can't understand. I probably won't even understand it throughout eternity, Chad. Because love is a good gift. For God so loved the world, He gave a what? A divine good gift. And if that gift is going to keep enlarging, then in eternity the love of God is going to continue and keep enlarging. Will I ever catch up with it, Chad? About time I think I can put my arms around it, it enlarges. I get a step closer, it enlarges. Just think about it. The goodness of God never stops growing, never stops giving. So does the love of God. It never stops growing, it never stops giving. It's always enlarging. Giving in abundance more than you need. Amen. Verses 17 and 18. With whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning of His own will. Underline two words, own will. And write this. God is the operator and the cause of our salvation. God operates our salvation. He is also the cause of our salvation. Let's put it together. Neither shadow of turning of His own will. So God is the operator. Thank God for that. And the cause of our salvation by His what? Own will beget He us. Underline beget He us. It means He, God, brought us forth. Two things. It is an aorist tense in the Greek language. It is an aorist tense. Aorist tense means a case for, I want you to get this, a case for all action. When you are saved, it's past, present, and future. Aorist tense. When you're saved, it is past, present, and future. It is, secondly, the indicative mood. It is a completed new birth. When you are saved, your salvation in Christ is complete. Nothing is to be added. It is sufficient in its own because of the giver and the operator on it. Again, indicative mood, a completed new birth because it came by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's continue. With whom no variableness, neither shadow of turning, of His own will, He brought us forth with the Word. Underline the word, Word. The living power of the living work of Scripture. of truth. Underline the word truth. The word truth is the gospel, the good news. It is the divine message that has come from the living God as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in written or spoken form. That we should, underline two words, we should. So what was the purpose of God's word bringing us into salvation? That's what it means. That we should be a kind of first fruits. Underline the two words, first fruits, and here's what it means. A promise of the coming harvest. I'm saving you, Jesus says. I am bringing salvation to you by the grace of Almighty God as a result of my death, burial, and resurrection. I am making you first fruits, which is a promise of the coming harvest. When I read that, I thought about Haynesville Baptist Church. Why have people been saved in the past? Why is Jesus bringing salvation to this group of people? Because he's promising you there are more people out there to reach for Christ. There are more that need to hear the gospel of the resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I have saved people. I will continue to save them today. I will bring about salvation continuously in the future that is coming to let you know there is more out there that need to be reached. So the more I save, Jesus says, the more we're going to be reaching out to save those that have no idea they are sheep that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I will see to it that they will get the gospel in a spoken way or in a written way. So listen to what he says. Of his own will, he brought us forth with the word of truth that we should, here's the purpose of being saved, be a kind of first fruits, a promise of the coming harvest of his creatures. Underline the word creatures, and it means the product of God's creative activity. Look at number one. God is good in the gifts he gives and also in who he is. Underline the word gifts. If it's a gift, it's a divine gift. It has come from God. It has come from above. Secondly, when God gives a gift, it is not something you should pray for. I hear people say, I am praying for the gift of tongues. Well, if you know what he's talking about right there, you don't pray for gifts. A gift is something that someone gives you because they feel this is what you need. So don't waste your time on praying for gifts, because God is going to give you the gift he wants you to have. He knows that you need to develop, that he may deliver you with all good things. God is good in the gifts he gives and also in who he is. Number two, God is not moody. He doesn't have bad days. God is not what? God is not generous with me one day and then grouchy the next. We are variable. We go up and down. God doesn't. God doesn't react to me according to how I'm doing with him. He is faithful when I am faithless. He doesn't change. He is locked into his nature. Now I'm going to step out on a limb here. He is locked into his nature. Can you be locked into the same nature that God is locked into? Is this God living in you as a Christian? So is it impossible for you to be locked into the same nature that he is? I don't think so. Do you? You know what the problem is? We've got to turn our lives over to God. We've got to start living by faith in God. We've got to start trusting and having the confidence that God asks us to have. Are you tired of being in and out and up and down? Good today, not too good tomorrow? Well, let me say this. Stop it! Stop the excuses. God is telling you, I am the giver of good gifts. And what I give you doesn't stay the same size. And then I'm going to give you something that's going to enlarge and enlarge and enlarge. It's going to enlarge itself so much, it's going to push out that which does not need to be in you. If you want to be locked in the good nature of Almighty God, let the grace of God and the love of God begin to enlarge in your life until it pushes that which is ungodly out. Amen. The thing is, you've got to make room for it. And don't blame it on somebody else. God is good. He gives me nothing but good gifts. For He is a what? Good God. Verse 19. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be a careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak. A speaker of carefully chosen words and slow to anger. Patient, reflective, forgiving. In talking to the believers dispersed throughout the Roman Empire, undergoing unbelievable persecution, James says, don't forget that God is good. I know who the President of the United States is. Joe Biden. I don't know how much persecution you might undergo from him. But it won't do any good to complain about it. I do. In talking to the believers dispersed throughout the Roman Empire, undergoing unbelievable persecution. Let's just say, we're beginning to say, we never thought we would go through such unbelievable stuff. The IRS. Armed idiots. Biden needs more money. So let me put a gun in your face and hold you up at the door. And we say, it's not your money. I've already paid taxes once. That's my savings. That's my retirement. God, how far will you let this go? With the IRS. Will there be a civil war in the United States of America? Will there be a line drawn from east to west? You have north and south. What will we have to suffer, we say, if this is allowed to continue? You're in control, God, right? It's all about trials, right? Are you going to test us like you did Job? Could I lose my house, my family, my money? What would I do? Who will I depend on? James chapter 1. You have a good God. Let's reread it. In talking to the believers dispersed throughout the Roman Empire, undergoing unbelievable persecution, James says, don't forget that God is good. I love that show. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And what's happening in you is going to work for good ultimately. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. But we want the health, wealth, and prosperity now. It doesn't exist. The best part of your life is yet to come. It'll come after death unless Jesus Christ comes tomorrow or in 5 minutes. And you don't have to die. You just step into a resurrection body.
Amen.
And what's happening in you is going to work for good ultimately. Therefore, don't be cynical. Don't be quick to complain about your situation. Instead, stop speaking and start listening. Amen. Sometimes you just got to shut your mouth. Stop talking. Listen to God. Why listen to God? He's all-knowing, isn't He? He's everywhere present. He's all-powerful. He's all-sufficient. Don't you think we need to listen to Him? Yeah, but I like to listen to myself because I hit a right note every now and then. Listen to God. We don't need to rewrite the Constitution. We just need to reread it. And quit putting these bums in office. Know who you're voting for. Read how they have voted. The United States of America is not by accident. It is by the grace of God. It is by something I'll share with you next Sunday, the Black Robe Regiment. Remember back in the 1700s when preachers preached with a black robe? They'd come out and preach to the congregation. The religious liberty was being threatened. You remember that, Lee? Civil liberty was being threatened. The Black Robe Regiment, the preachers, preaching in small white houses, the church house. They began to lay down the Bible and picked up their muskets. And they begin to walk down the aisle and out the church. And as they were walking down the aisle, they said, all men that are willing to lay down their lives for religious liberty and civil liberty, follow me. And these preachers called the Black Robe Regiment led these men to join the army. And they fought and they fought and they fought. They were willing to lay their life down for what was so meaningful to them. Do we have any black robe regiments today? Or too many hirelings that'll beat you to the door if need be to escape persecution? I have pledged to be a black robe regiment. What good are you if I'm not willing to die for what He died for? You don't want to miss next Sunday or the next one. back to the printout. Instead, stop speaking and start listening. And you'll hear God's voice in your trial. Don't you think that's worth holding your tongue? I do. Verse 20. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which He requires from us. Being ticked off and hot under the collar doesn't accomplish anything that proves to be right, ever. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I thank You that my God is good. He is the giver of good gifts. Those good gifts continually come down without me even asking, for they come down by grace. And they'll meet every desire that I have, for they are coming from the God who is all-knowing. Help me to listen more to Your voice in the trials. They are exciting, yet sometimes demanding. Forgive us when we set You aside and think we can live life on our own for just a little bit. It don't work. And I thank You for the privilege to preach Your gospel, to live by it. That the grace of God and the Word of God may be heard. Help us in the United States of America to take a stand. Not to step backwards, but to go forward. And say, in the name of Jesus, we claim our religious liberty and our civil liberty. For we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And thank You for loving us so how it encourages us to be what we should be and do what we should do. And thank You that our salvation is complete. The moment we accept it, it is complete. Nothing needs to be added to it. Now we go through that progressive sanctification of developing. That the more we develop, the more we'll be delivered from ourselves. Thank You for the privilege to be conformed to the image of Christ, to mature in His likeness. And again, thank You for Your goodness that is always there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.